We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke this morning. I'm going to use this Bible. This, my brother sent me this. It's a very large print, and it's just the Gospels. So it's kind of cool. We're going to Luke chapter 24. There are a number, I mentioned this earlier, there's a number of records in the Bible related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and there's a little more added information in 1 Corinthians 15. We're not going to read all those records this morning. We're going to look at Luke 24. And I think you know that the religious leaders went to Pilate after Jesus Christ was crucified, and they basically told Pilate, wow, this guy said that he was going to, or his followers said he's going to be raised from the dead, and you need to put a guard and seal the tomb, because they're going to come and take his body away and then say he got resurrected. So Pilate agreed, and it says that the tomb was sealed, which I guess indicates a Roman seal. Nobody messed with that. And there were guards, so nobody could come and do that. The Bible also tells us that God sent his angel, and he rolled the stone away. There's one of the gospel records that says it was a great stone. The angel rolled the stone away and then sat on it. Vince and I were talking about this yesterday. Just sat on it. Anybody want to put this stone back? I just think that is so cool. There are other details that you can look at in the Gospels. And, you know, one of the keys of how the Bible interprets itself that we've been looking at in the Walking in God's Power foundational class is something we call scripture buildup, where you take from the same situation, the same event, you take the information from here, from here, from here, you kind of put it all together. So there's a lot of wonderful information, but I really wanted to look at Luke chapter 24 because there's really an important thread throughout this record in Luke 24 that will become very obvious as we go through it. So, Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. We know from other gospel records that Jesus Christ said, I do nothing of myself. That which I hear, I speak. That which I see, I do. So he spoke what God wanted him to speak. He was speaking God's word. So the angel said, remember what he told you in Galilee? Oh, then they remembered his words. And we'll see in this wonderful chapter of Luke 24, which is one of my favorite chapters, there's a thread throughout this whole chapter about the scriptures, God's word, the importance of God's word. So then they remembered his words. We're on verse 9. They have some exciting news to bring back to the gang, don't they? And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and unto the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. I imagine they were excited. We went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, nobody was in there, and two angels appeared unto us and told us to remember what he said, and he's risen. And verse 11, their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. So, you know, there was a whole lot of grief going on at that time. People were very sad that Jesus Christ had been crucified, and now here come these women. No, he's up. Then arose Peter, in verse 12, and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I think in another gospel record, Peter and somebody else ran there. The other guy outran Peter. But in the gospel accounts, it talks about the linen clothes or the grave wrappings just laying there. So when they buried people, they would wrap them in the grave wrappings, and then they put what Scripture says, a napkin over the face. In one of the gospel records, the grave wrappings were just laying there, and then the napkin was in a different place, folded. But what they were looking at was an empty shell of the grave wrappings. He came right out of the grave wrappings. Remember Lazarus, when he came out, when Jesus Christ raised him from the dead, he was all bound up and came walking out, and Jesus Christ said, loose him, you know, take. People were just probably. And Jesus Christ said, you know, you want to unwind him there so the guy can move? Jesus Christ came right out of the grave wrappings. Isn't that awesome? Then we get to verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Another gospel record says he appeared to two others in a different form. So in this wonderful resurrected body that Jesus Christ had, he could appear in another form. So they didn't know who he was. You know, it's really, we'll find out why here, but Jesus Christ didn't go up to them and go, hey, where are you guys going? Look, I'm alive. I'm raised from the dead. Why didn't he tell them that? There was something more important that he needed to show them. So he asks a question in verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What are you guys talking about? You're so sad. What's going on? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto him, are you just a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And Jesus said unto them, what things? Isn't that something? And they said, well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and went mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, or better say, it would be better translated, we had hoped that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We hoped that he was the Redeemer. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yeah, and not only that, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Yeah, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. So these two guys were there when the women came and said, hey, guess what? And remember, their words seemed like idle tales, and they didn't believe. Jesus, in verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What a statement. What a statement. I guess from Jesus Christ's point of view, it's very foolish to not believe what the Scriptures say. Ought not, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, that'd be Genesis, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh my, what a teaching that was that day. He began at Genesis, and every verse that pertained to him, he shared it with them. Starting with Genesis 3:15, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and he's going to bruise your heel, but you're going to crush his head. Starting with all of those, as they're walking to Emmaus. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. All right, you guys, see you later. No. Verse 29, they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it's toward evening, it's dark. And the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Understanding the culture of Bible times, constrained, when someone constrains someone, if you ask someone to dinner, you know, like if this was Bible times, then I'd say, Dave, you want to come over for dinner? He'd have to refuse. No, I got things to do. And then you'd say, oh, come on, we're going to have some great pizza or something. No, I really can't go. And then you'd have to ask the third time, oh, please come. And then he'd go, okay. That was their custom. So you'd have to ask them like three times. I remember hearing Bishop Pillai, who brought so much of the great information of God's word from that culture. When he came to the United States, somebody invited him to dinner and he went, no, thank you, I can't come. They're like, okay. And he couldn't understand, why didn't he ask me a second or third time? So they constrained him. They said, no, please come. We're in verse 30. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. It's Jesus. And then it says, and he vanished out of their sight. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever had somebody over for dinner? And you're sitting there at the table, and then all of a sudden they just, poof, vanished. The next verse is really, really cool. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? That was the whole point of Jesus Christ doing that. He could have just said, hey, look, it's me, I'm here. But he wanted to get them to see the scriptures. It's the word of God that's important. Well, these guys were like lit up. It says they rose up the same hour. Wait a minute, I thought the day was far spent. It's nighttime now. You don't want to go. These guys made a U-turn and returned to Jerusalem. I'm kind of thinking they were walking a little faster going back to Jerusalem than they were on the way to Emmaus when they were all sad. Man, I'll bet they were booking. And when they got there, it says they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them saying, so when they walked in, this is what they heard people saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And so these are the two guys that went to Emmaus and came back, they told them what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Because that's what we just read. When he took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, then they recognized him. Then, poof, he disappeared. So they're telling him what happened. And verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. There's another record where it says that they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They didn't know what was going to happen. You know, are we going to get crucified too? So they're kind of in hiding for fear of the Jews. It doesn't say Jesus knocked. Doesn't say he opened the door. Just said, there he was, right in the midst. What a day this was. Peace be unto you. Verse 37, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. Remember when Jesus Christ was with the woman at the well and he shared those great truths with her, and one of the things he said was, God is spirit. God doesn't have flesh and bones. Touch me, handle me, look. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, okay, you guys got any food? Have you any meat? Because they were still just... And I think that's really understandable. You know, Jesus Christ got arrested and then he got brutally beaten and then hung on the cross, crucified. And now here he is, and it's... So he said, you have any food? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. They're just watching him. He just told them, look, I'm not a spirit. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. Here, give me some food. Watch. He's just trying to get them settled down so that he can proceed with what he wants to do. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He's bringing their attention back to what? The Word of God. Look at the great emphasis that this section is putting on the Scriptures, the Word of God. You know, that's what we're interested in, is getting an understanding and growing in our knowledge of the Scriptures. That's what's most important. You know, there's a lot of other things, you know. You can go places where they have a giant band playing, and that's great, and they can have lights and smoke and all of these things going on. But what's most important is the Scriptures. And verse 45, look at this. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. First order of business on this, what we call Resurrection Sunday, when Jesus Christ got back with the guys, the Scriptures. This is what's important, the Scriptures. Verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. They would be witnesses of the resurrection. And when you look at the book of Acts and in the church epistles, what did they preach? The resurrection. The resurrection. There's a verse that says they went everywhere preaching the resurrection. And then verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And really, starting with verse 49 and continuing is a bit of a summation, or very similar to what you read in Acts chapter 1. God had Luke to write the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. So we'll read these last verses in Luke here, and then we'll go to Acts to close. Verse 49 again, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And we know this didn't happen that day, because we'll read in Acts that he was around for 40 days. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And now let's close out in Acts chapter 1, if you would. The resurrected Christ, Jesus Christ, is alive and he's coming back. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, in all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, we find out that there was a meeting of over 500 people where Jesus Christ was in his resurrected body. Pretty cool. And being, now, this is account is the day of the ascension. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Jesus Christ spoke many times of the coming of the promise of the Father, the coming of the Comforter, the coming of Holy Spirit, which was one of the greatest things that Jesus Christ accomplished through his completed work of redemption and salvation, that Spirit could once again be available to people, because God originally wanted human beings to have a body, soul, and spirit. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost spirit. And now it's going to be available for people to once again, whoever wants to have the Spirit of God in them, which you have heard of me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are we in the end times? Is it? It's just like today. People go, I think this is. And he said, look, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Stop worrying about that. It's not for you to know. But getting back to what I was just talking about, verse 8, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They just stood and watched as he just went up, until they couldn't see him anymore. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, I would have been looking up too, wouldn't you? Never seen anything like that before? I imagine they just kept looking. And that's what it says, as they were looking there. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, you men of Israel, or you, I'm sorry, which said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem, and several days later was the day of Pentecost, when Holy Spirit was now available to whosoever believed regarding Jesus Christ. Any person that gets born again, confesses the Lord Jesus, believes in their heart God raised him from the dead, according to the Scriptures, they receive God's gift of Holy Spirit and have the ability to operate it. What a great day that was when they first saw the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected. It's me. Come touch me. Handle me. Give me some food. Okay, everybody all right now? All right, now let's get into the Bible. And he opened their eyes that they could understand the Scriptures. And I love that chapter 24 in Luke. The great emphasis that's just a thread throughout it is the Scriptures, the Word of God. That's what's most important. And for us, that's why we take the time to come to a Bible fellowship. That's why we take the time to take a Bible class because we want to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word so that we can live for Him and enjoy the blessings that God has promised us. So, Father, thank You for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is risen and is coming back. Thank You, Father, that because of Him, we have so much available to us in the new birth. We have so many rights, privileges, and abilities as born-again Christians. And Father, may we just, with joy in our hearts, take each day as a new day to walk with You. And Father, we pray that You would open doors for us to be able to share this good news with others. We pray, Father, as Your Word says, that the Word, Your Word, the Scriptures, may have free course throughout the whole world. And we pray, Father, this morning for people that live in really difficult situations where they can't just meet openly like this. We pray You would protect them and help them and bless them. Thank You, Father, for the privilege of sharing a little bit of Your Word here this morning. I ask You to bless everyone here, those that are on the hookup. And may we just have a wonderful day, not just today, rejoicing in the resurrection, but every day, knowing that He's not only alive, but He's coming back. So thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.